Hey, what's going on, Clipper compatriots?
It's me. Nice.
I try from time to time. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Bachler.
And we're a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people.
Yeah, we made it somehow.
Somehow. We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Yep.
As Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Just word on the network, they're doing a lot of great stuff out there. They got some draft stuff
coming
up.
Bunch of mock drafts for every team.
So stay tuned to all that stuff and check that out. But anyways, on some Clipper news, we're going to kick things off with our What You Say Wednesday segment. Basically, poll goes out on Twitter.
Yep.
The people speak.
Yeah, and there was a lot to say this week, which is fun.
And we hear you. So this was a particularly contentious poll, which we love. And it pertains to what the Clippers' top priority should be in free agency, which is something we've talked about a lot.
For sure.
Excited to dive into what y'all had to say. And then in the second segment, there was a troubling rumor surrounding the Clippers today, coming from a certain Kevin O'Connor. So basically, there's been some kicking of the tires of Russell Westbrook, a possible Westbrook trade.
Yeah, I don't think
so. We're gonna talk about it. And then in Shavings, which is just where we kind of open up that messy kitchen drawer that is the NBA.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna be talking about some free agency stuff, as well as with the a month and a half, little less than that really, to the start of the season. We got to talk about some other stuff. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. So welcome to What You Say Wednesday. Again, if you check out Twitter on Tuesday, there'll be a question on our Twitter at Locked On Clips. Today's was, what should the Clippers' top priority once free agency starts be? The options were re-sign Jermichael, re-sign Morris, re-sign Trez, or sign a backup point guard / center. Now, this was a pretty close vote.
Yes.
But I think it shook out to pretty accurate. There were 633 votes. Thank you to everyone who voted. I, of course, did not. Re-sign Morris won with 34% of the vote.
But that's a narrow margin.
Yeah, and then re-sign Jermichael and sign a backup point guard or center had 30%. Re-sign Trez with a healthy 6%.
Yeah, clearly that one is the lowest priority for the fans, which makes sense.
Yes.
So Morris, I got to agree with the majority on this one.
Yeah.
Re-signing Morris is the most important step in the Clippers' free agency this season. And then I guess I'm a little surprised that Jermichael, as well as a backup point guard or center, are dead even in votes.
Yeah.
If I was to pick, I mean, I would probably pick Jermichael.
Out of these options.
I mean, as a second option.
As a second, oh yeah, for sure.
It's re-sign Morris for me.
Yeah,
all the way. That's the only move that the Clippers need to make, and I'll consider their free agency a success.
Yeah, there were a couple people who wanted, like, how come isn't get a starting point guard on here? For me, that just seemed the pool for that's pretty shallow. We got a lot of other question marks we have to fill before that.
Yes. I mean,
I'd put almost all of these, except for re-sign Trez, ahead of acquire a starting caliber point guard.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like the idea of a starting caliber point guard, and I do think if you were to move Pat to the bench, that does strengthen that bench unit, obviously, quite a bit. But I just don't know if it's a realistic move to get a true starting caliber point guard.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really anything out there in free agency that we can afford. Obviously, Fred VanVleet could start, but we can't get him.
Yeah, we're not going to pay him $20 million.
And, I just don't know how much you'd have to give up to get a trade. And when I say starting level point guard, I'm also meaning, like, I don't think that Jeff Teague is a starting level point guard anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
I want him on the team.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, I don't think he should be starting.
Yeah, for sure. So that one I didn't put on there. And then there's a couple ones that were kind of odd, but I thought it was interesting. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little surprised re-signed Trez got 6%.
You thought it would get nothing.
I thought it would get a lot less. And it's also funny. Someone commented there like, man, if you would have put this out pre-bubble, this would have been pretty much dead even between these three. like between the three player options.
Yes. 30-30-30-30.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so the, I mean, you know, it sucks for Trez in terms of contract stuff. And there still is that question mark with Trez of now that Lou is at the helm, what's his playing? His playing time is not going to look the same. We're not going to see 20-minute stretches of Trez in the regular season, like for sure.
Yeah.
So there's this thing where depending what we're going to get him at, might not be that horrible. And Jamichael, man, Jamichael and Morris might be a toss-up for me.
Are you serious?
No, it's Morris.
I was going to say, are you serious?
But if we only got Morris and we didn't get Jamichael, I would be pretty bummed out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's rough for me. That's a rough offseason. We got to run it back with these two specifically.
I would be super bummed to not get either one of these two guys between Morris and Jamichael. But yeah, if we have to pick one for me, it's obviously Morris. I will be really bummed if we don't get Marcus Morris back. Like I'll be a little worried.
Yeah. It, you know, someone comment, like, because there's a lot of people who were, some people say that Harkless could do what Morris does and we don't necessarily need it to do the trade, which is not true.
That's not true at all. We saw what Harkless could do and we saw what the team looked like with Harkless.
Yeah, and we saw what other teams did when Harkless was out there.
And
which
there's
kind of just let him hang out on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I just think that Morris's defense is underrated. And I know that some of that comes about because he does kind of run his mouth a little bit. He's a little bit hot-headed at times.
Yeah.
But he is still a good defender. And, you know, we've been talking about it, I feel like, for the last week. But, like, the team posted some of his best defensive net ratings. Just defensive ratings.
Yeah.
With him in the lineup with Kawhi and Paul George. So
if we don't re-sign Marcus Morris and we end up getting... But we end up getting Jamichael. Are you okay with Jamichael starting? Just basically one for one in the place of Morris?
No. I don't know.
Do you bring Sham up and then move everyone down?
I like that a little bit more. Either way, you're taking a fair step back defensively, if not a significant step back defensively.
Yeah.
I like Jamichael.
Offensively and kind of good timing wise, it's a wash.
Yeah, I mean, like offensively and rebounding, I think, you know, Jamichael is up there. Actually, his offense isn't as good as Morris's either. He doesn't have the same level of stuff. I'm saying the little things
make it a little closer, but the defensive side of the ball is a much larger drop.
Yes.
Which is tough.
And, no, both sides of the floor, man.
Not as significant on offense, though.
Jamichael can, like, spot up and shoot, but he can't, like, post up. You can't, like, hand him the ball and say, go score.
That's true. I hope we're not doing a lot of that with Marcus, though, either.
Sometimes you need to, baby.
I know. Yeah, that's fair. Let us know if you didn't get a vote in this. Again, we appreciate the 633 votes we got on this out there on Twitter, at Locked On Clips. Coming up, we're going to be talking the Kevin O'Connor, Russell Westbrook to the Clippers tease rumor. We don't know what it is, but first, what's going on around the network?
Around the network, they have been up around the clock doing draft work.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to want to check out the Locked On NBA mock draft with the draft just days away at this time. It's a little terrifying.
Yes, it's pretty scary.
I hope Jan Madara is ready to come to the Clippers.
Me too.
Hope he's got his bag packed for Los Angeles. But Locked On NBA, the podcast has their mock drafting every first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to Locked On NBA every day leading up to the draft to hear projections of each pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, great dude, and Sports Illustrated Jeremy Wu. Check the feed to catch up on past shows and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today, wherever you get podcasts.
All right. We also got a good shout out to Built Bar. They got some new flavors, which is fantastic. They have 18 total, including nut and non-nut flavors. The six new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. So you just get a delicious smorgasbord of flavors to choose from. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, the good highs and the good lows. Peanut butter is very good. It's one of my favorite ones. It's a little boring, but it's great for the keto diet. So if you want a special offer right now, go to builtbar.com LockedOnClippers.com. Use promo code LockedOn, all capital letters, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LockedOn for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, we're back, and we have to talk about a troubling, from my perspective, rumor.
Nobody, I don't think, likes this.
And that is the possibility of Russell Westbrook joining the Clippers. So Kevin O'Connor reports that the Clippers and Knicks both have had trade interest in Russell Westbrook. So the first obstacle I feel like that you have to hop over is that Westbrook is owed $41 million in 2021, $44 million in 2021-22, and as a player option that he's definitely not turning down, worth $47 million in 2022-23.
And when I say not good, I meant for the money he makes and for what this team would look like to have to move in order to get him.
Yeah, I don't want to say that Russell Westbrook is a bad player because that's just not true.
But it's not what he needs. It's not what the Clippers need.
I don't think so.
At all. Like, he's taking shots. Like, in this scenario, can we keep Paul George and Kawhi, or is Paul George gone? You know, like,
I'm giving up Paul George for freaking Russell Westbrook.
And in terms of, like, the other returns, like, there's been some ideas floated out.
So what do we have? Like, what would we have to give up just to paint a picture to get to that, you know, that $40-plus million kind of range?
There was one idea put out that I think is asinine for the Rockets to accept, which is Pat Bev, Rodney Magruder, and Trez on an $18 million sign-in trade for Russ. That's not going to happen.
$18 million? Wow, Trez makes out like a bandit
situation. This is an absolutely absurd trade idea. What is the point of this for the Rockets?
They're just trading back what they traded us in the Chris Paul trade?
Yeah, like, with, I don't know. So that's insane.
There's plus Rodney Magruder?
Yeah, another Bev, Lou, Rodney Magruder, and then you add Trez for maybe $12 million a year, which contract-wise for Trez, that makes sense. But yeah, this is just the reverse of the Chris Paul trade. And both sides lose?
Yeah, I don't really see... I mean, like, we've talked about this a little bit. I don't really know what the Rockets' goal is this year. I really, truly don't know what direction they're going, what's happening. But I still don't see any of these as being realistic scenarios, especially just given what you gave up to get Russell Westbrook. This would be taking an absolute bath.
Yeah.
I think that you're better off just letting this thing run its course for at least one or two more seasons, and then maybe seeing what you could get. I'm not really quite sure.
It just makes my head hurt, and this is just a move that, like, I don't even know if desperate would be. So here's what we also have to talk about. Is this real? Is this an actual is this an actual scoop?
Could they have made a phone call? Sure.
And I think the phone call was the Rockets calling the Clippers. It wasn't the Clippers.
You know what? That's a great
Rockets.
Point. I think so too. I mean, obviously there's been interested, like, the Clippers have been publicly interested in a guard, so I think that maybe the front office of the Rockets would reach out. It's not impossible for me to think that they have talked. It's impossible for me to imagine a scenario in which both teams agree to this.
We don't have any picks to give them.
No. And they gave up a bunch of picks to trade Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Like, it's a bad move from both sides, almost.
I think it's a bad move. I think it's a bad move from both sides. And then I just don't know then how you can make the contracts work with Kawhi and Paul George. I mean, I guess you can just pay out the ass for the luxury tax and, like, it's Ballmer, so it doesn't matter.
But who's around him at that point? You know, like, we still don't have Trez, Jermichael, or Morris signed.
Yeah. Yes.
So, free agency does start in, like, 9 days or whatever. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't even think anyone really agrees with this trade. I saw, like, one person online who was like, I'm cool with this. Someone said that this would work if our center could shoot. But if we had a center who could shoot, we'd probably give him up in the trade to get Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on the style of play, right? Like,
which we don't even know yet either. So we're bringing in a player who's coming into a whole new system that no one knows yet.
Yeah.
That we don't know how Russell Westbrook would play in a Ty Lue system.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not that Doc would be any better, but like we don't even know. We don't have a full roster yet who's committed to play next season.
Yeah, I mean, and it gets really difficult, I think, in lineups with two non-shooters at this point in the league.
Speaking of non-shooters, since 2016-2017, per Shane Young, at Young NBA, which is a great handle, Russell Westbrook has a regular season usage rate of 35.4% with a true shooting mark of 53%. That is the third worst efficiency during that span, ahead of only Reggie Jackson and Andrew Wiggins. In the playoffs, 36.9% usage and 48.8% true shooting, the absolute worst.
All right, so I'm going to give Westbrook a little bit of a break. I think those playoff numbers are definitely stilted from... I'm going to say that 1 year skewed it post-Durant where they made the playoffs with nobody on the team. But, you know, he's not known for being an efficient player, but he does have the eye to be a passer. And I do think that if this was to be a little bit faster of a team... He's got to be one of the best transition passing guards out there.
For sure.
Like, if you could really commit to that style of play, I think...
He's also got miles on him, though.
He's got miles on him. He does not have the athleticism that he had even two seasons ago.
Yeah, which sucks.
And he did have a knee operation since then, yep. So it makes sense. I don't know, man. And, like, he can rebound... I'm trying to find some bright sides, like in case.
So that's
is
a
positive.
Funny thing, like the pros of having Westbrook, right? Yeah. We know all the cons.
Yeah,
the pros are, you know, I thought of one more con.
We're on pros right
I know,
now,
but this is a big con.
What
he load managed last year.
I mean, he has to.
But that's the funny thing. Everyone obviously was only mad at Kawhi.
Yeah.
For load managing. You put Kawhi and Russ on the same team, and you get this level of load management distaste from everybody else. It would be annoying and doesn't help us at all.
Don't care.
If we had to load manage Kawhi and Russell Westbrook, that would suck.
It's only on back-to-backs.
But maybe with Russ it might be more because he has the miles. He's gotten hurt. Like the risk with what you give up,
yeah,
like
no,
rationally.
I agree, and especially just given, I mean, the injury stuff. Yeah, the injury stuff is definitely really a difficult hurdle to get over. But back to the pros.
Sorry about that. I really derailed us.
He is a gifted passer. You know, part of that efficiency thing is just he has terrible shot selection. But a lot of that, to me, still comes down to at times he was maybe asked to do too much or given too much of a green light too early.
I think that's what it is. And I think that's also – that was kind of a running joke, right? Like Duncan Smith had a great tweet where he was like, imagine Russ waving off Kawhi in a game 7.
Right?
Like.
One of those things that I think is difficult, too, is like those Thunder teams had success as very young men and then, you know, never sniffed, never came close to going to a finals really again. So I think that, like, when you're winning, you can have some bad habits, and if you're still winning, like, they never get ironed out.
Exactly, yeah.
And then
they get exposed.
And then when the most important player leaves, and then, you know, like, James Harden leaves as well, and, you know, it's basically your team, then nobody can even call you out on your bad habits.
Oh, very good call.
And I do think, like, with D'Antoni, we saw stretches where Westbrook was very effective, and the thing is you just pull out all, like, you take away all the pull-ups, you take away any, like, transition jumpers, anything like that,
any three-pointer for the most part,
and you just have him trying to get to the rim, and if he doesn't have a clear path, then you have him fucking pass to somebody else.
But then spacing is funny too. So now, like you said, it's like another non-shooter where it's like Kawhi loves to operate in the mid-range. He's elite at it, so like there's this weird, you hope that Landry takes a jump, which we kind of think he will, but he also might have been included in some insane trade.
There's a couple of things you can do to mitigate some of that shooting. I think if you are planning on keeping, if you're planning on moving Pat to the bench, or if he, I mean, obviously, I guess if he goes in the trade, I think having Shamit in the backcourt is interesting and shifting people down. You could also,
because they probably don't want Zoo.
Yeah, I just don't think that we can re-sign Morris really either.
Yeah, there's a bunch
if we end up making this. So I mean, you have to re-sign Jamichael, and you could use him at the five some.
The veteran minimums become interesting, but it's weird.
It's a quandary for sure.
It's a headache, is what it is.
It's more of a headache than a quandary. There would be some possible pros. Like I said, I don't see a whole lot of. I don't want to say truth because that's not the right word. I just don't see a whole lot of like realistic scenarios in which this could happen.
This isn't a trade based in reality.
I do not feel that way.
And you know what? I really hope it isn't too. I would be this trade, if the Clippers were to get Russell Westbrook, that in no way puts us over the top of anything.
Yeah, I don't see it. I truly do not really see it being an improvement. I mean, he is a better starting point guard than Patrick Beverley.
For sure.
If what you're giving up is Bev and Magruder and Harrell, who you weren't going to keep anyways, most likely.
Yeah.
I mean, then it's a little bit lower stakes. I still don't love it.
That's impossible, though, too.
I still don't love it. And like that contract is, here's the thing though. We always think these contracts are untradeable and a lot of them are, right? But then you have stuff where like all it takes is one good season and it doesn't even have to be a full season. It can just be one decent season and a solid push in the playoffs and suddenly teams have interest in a player and you can offload that guy. Yeah. So if all that we would have to give up is Pat, Magruder, and Harrell, like you could talk me into it. I'm still not psyched on it. It definitely wouldn't be my first choice, but it wouldn't be the end of the world if that's what you're giving up.
It's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully nothing of any substance comes from this. Coming up on Shavings, we're going to be talking just free agency things as well as some health protocols for COVID when the NBA returns.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings. In case you didn't know, free agency is starting in less than 10 days.
Yes.
I got to be honest, man. We were talking about this before the podcast. Why even wait 10 days at this
point? Just let him go, dude.
I truly feel like Adam Silver could just walk out into the street and scream, "I declare free agency."
Yeah.
And it could just start.
It could just happen because it already starts anyway.
10 days from now, when we're recording this, that'll be the 20th. That gives teams 10 days, theoretically, before the start of training camp, which most people would put it around December 1st.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. Why not just start it now?
Yeah, just get it done now. Obviously, the speculation is already kind of crazy, even just among trade stuff, as we talked about last segment. What's your favorite weird fan thing people do during free agency?
Weird fan? Oh, like kind of...
other than creating lunatic ideas.
Yeah. I mean, I am kind of a fan of the trade machine. I sometimes get burnt out on it, but it's a little fun.
I like tracking flights. Tracking people's private jets is the most invasive, weird thing that happens during free agency. It's pretty invasive.
I like people acting or overreacting to what a player is following or unfollowing on social media.
Very good call.
Yeah.
There was a Serge Ibaka video that came out that he put out where it's like him playing against the Rockets, and everyone's like, the signs are there. He's coming to the Rockets. And then he deleted his stuff. I will say I will be looking for that. Well, everyone freaked out about Trez and Lou. Remember when like everyone was like, Trez doesn't follow Lou on Instagram.
Yeah.
And Lou doesn't follow Trez. Yeah, that's always a good time when your social media is really hinging on it.
I think it's fun when people come sort of unhinged about that stuff.
And as we're recording this, just 42 days till the season starts, 41 when you're listening to it. Might put this out early just because of the Westbrook news. What are you doing to celebrate only 40-ish more days without Clippers basketball?
So is that something to celebrate?
Absolutely.
I'm bummed about
it. We're ready to get hurt again.
I'm bummed to have to wait 40 days. Let's start tomorrow.
I mean, yeah, they might as well start it given free agency starting. when basketball does come back, there's going to be some fans at games. The Thunder announced they're going to create appropriate and safe distancing, reduced game seating capacity, 6-foot seating, distance between groups, required face masks, contactless self-service ticket scanning and concession purchases, and strict hygiene and disinfecting procedures. Here's the thing that here's where I get hung up on how these protocols are going to work.
Lay it on me.
No, mask mandatory, which I totally agree with, but you're also selling food and stuff. People are just yanking that mask off as soon as the food comes. I don't know how else they're going to eat. That's not a knock on the people, because yeah, if the food is there.
No, I feel you on that.
And it's in Oklahoma, which isn't exactly the strictest currently with COVID stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, the whole dining thing has kind of freaked me out, I guess, through this whole thing. Because, yeah, there's no way to eat with a mask on.
And I've tried it, and you know what? There's a mask on.
There's a mask on.
It gets filthy, and everyone looks at you like you're an idiot.
And so, yeah, I think that's difficult. And just especially with the enclosed nature of an NBA arena, like, I don't know, man. I'm hoping that we're going to see some sort of regulation at a federal level as to, you know, what is going to make all of this safe. Because as of right now, I don't know. And I still just feel like with cases once again rising, I don't even know. I literally don't know what's reasonable anymore. I truly have no idea how to gauge what's reasonable anymore, man. Like, if you would have told me in March that, like, basically for a full year, I'd still be masked up every single day, and I still would never go to a restaurant or
no more HMS Bounty,
a movie theater,
yeah, no more movies.
I would have said, you know, maybe,
yeah, and the Clippers are going to trade for Russell Westbrook.
Maybe I'll just go full awakening and walk into the ocean. How about that?
Maybe I'll just hurl myself off the cliffs. No, it's a lot to think about. Duncan Smith was pointing out, it is kind of crazy. The NBA is going to be the first league to have 100% of fans 100% indoors for games.
I know, man. It's, yeah. It's
like
a
suites
lot.
Are going to be open because they want to make money. Like, and so here's the other weird thing.
The suites are the wildest thing to me.
Yeah. The other weird thing is some fan bases have not really heard anything from their season ticket reps.
Really?
We've had Clippers. Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. We've had Clippers fans say that season ticket reps have called them and said there's going to be limited seating. And that was like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, do what you got to do. I get that. But yeah, man, and there's going to be some arenas where there's no fans, I feel like. If things are going horribly not well
in
a certain area,
oh yeah,
you would assume.
I got to be honest, I think California will end up being one of those states where there's not fans for a very long time.
And that sets up such a battle because it's, you know, you have teams like the Kings. No, I'm just kidding. You got the Lakers and Clippers who have a pretty, I mean, in terms of ticket price, it's up there.
Yeah.
It's got to be top five probably. And the owners are missing out in their view, however you want to define the term missing, on that money. So like, and you know, this is where the gambling comes into play that they might have more on site. Like it's, they're going to try and take as much money from as few fans as possible.
Oh yeah.
Going to a game is going to become so much more expensive, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. What about this? You just make up for the revenue by having the team shorts have a horseshoe type logo across the butt cheeks.
A horseshoe?
You know, like a horseshoe kind of shape.
Oh, I thought you meant like an actual horseshoe.
All of
like,
the what? Juicy pants from the
early like
the thousands.
Like the Just Dawn shorts?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, probably not the best idea.
I mean, what do you mean? I feel like you make enough money. Who cares?
What about the collar ad?
I mean,
that's just an arrow pointing to the ad on the back.
I'm just saying. I don't know if the collar's going to be enough. I don't know if these billionaires are going to, you know, if they're going to make it through this.
Yeah, pouring out for the billionaires who seemingly have made money during this whole thing. I definitely haven't.
They have made money. It's ridiculous.
That about wraps it up for Shavings.
Yes.
Where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You tell your friends to check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer.
Yep, yep.
You can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Mm-hmm. You know, we do this 5 days a week. Love to get some ears on it.
Absolutely. Come through. It's a good time.
Also, if you like what we're doing over here, feel free to leave a rating or review. We'll definitely read it on the air, whether it's good or bad.
Absolutely. Also, check out the other Locked On mock draft pods right now. Thursday's episode, are having Thirsty Thursday with what you want to see from Zubats next season, some rotation talking, and whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.